I got a message from Oprah Winfrey. Apparently, she has a big plan for the show and wants me to come to her studio.
Oprah Winfrey?
Oprah Winfrey? Oprah Winfrey? I know. I thought one of my listeners was pulling a prank, so I rewinded the tape, hit play, and rewinded it again. The lady on the answering machine sounded convincing. She had the same rhythm and cadence as Oprah. But why would she call and not her PR manager? I was suspicious. After a couple of hours of rewinding the tape, I know, I'm using the answering machine, please don't judge me, I'm an 80s baby. Oh, okay, I'll get back to the show. Okay, after rewinding the tape, I gave it a break. I washed the dishes, worked on the household budget, while watching Netflix. Coincidentally, I was watching a show produced by Oprah. The phone rang. An ecstatic voice was heard on the other end. Guess who was calling? I restrained my enthusiasm. She jabbered about a book deal, an exclusive interview, and a couple of shows in Vegas. She wanted to make me famous, like Tyler Perry. She had a plane ticket with my name on it and a 5-star hotel suite at the Marriott. But I wasn't buying it. Who does she take me for? An idiot? So I slammed down the receiver. I slid my finger across the screen. But you get the idea. I turned to the household budget, trying to pay the bills on a limited income and getting more frustrated by the minute as I'm thinking of working extra hours to make up the difference and flicking through Netflix new releases. The phone rang. Guess who was calling back? No. It wasn't her. A more militant voice was on the other side.
Mr. Campbell, I assure you this is not a joke. Go to your mailbox.
A purple envelope with the word Harpo was written on the upper left. That's Oprah spelled backwards. Yeah, I know. How original. On the inside was a plane ticket. The ticket to meet with the goddess herself. West Hollywood is a far cry from my home in the Ottawa Valley, especially the dress code. Canadians are not as fussy and it's hard to look sexy in a snowsuit. Speaking about clothes, I bought a new pair of slacks, dress shirt, and a tie for the special occasion. I looked cute, but the California heat was a beast as I regretted my shirt and tie combination. I was nervous. I was so nervous. For one, I've never met a world-famous celebrity. Say, for instance, if I say something stupid, or I may act socially awkward as I do from time to time, or mumble and talk backwards. Well, no time to think about that. The elevator door opened. A blonde girl, the size of an NFL quarterback, with ripped muscles and a chiseled face, escorted me down the hallway. She didn't talk much. Her conversational style was with grunts and occasional head nods, sort of like Arnold Schwarzenegger in the first Conan movie. Pictures of famous people graced the walls, from Nelson Mandela to Maya Angelou. If everything goes well, yours truly will have his face next to Beyoncé. The blonde quarterback grunted when we got to the double doors. I stopped. She poked her head in.
Your 5:30 appointment has arrived.
She turned to me, nodded, and opened the door. There she was, the queen of the media empire, the lady with the Midas touch, the one who launches obscure authors into household names. She seemed thinner and taller than her TV persona. Her dress style was casual, in faded blue jeans and a floral top. She probably did this so I wouldn't feel nervous, but it did the opposite, because I felt overdressed. I noticed my book in her hand, and a small smile on her face that shone like the sun from here to Delaware. For the sake of this episode, I'll save you an attempt to sound like Oprah. I don't do a good Oprah impersonation. In a nutshell, she adored my book and wanted me, or better yet, she wanted to republish it under her company's name. I felt faint. I thought I was going to pass out right there then on the floor. You mean my book? I'm not sure why I said that, or I'm not even sure if it was a question or a statement. Whatever it was, Oprah said yes. For any writer, this is a dream of a lifetime. My book, mixed with Oprah's fame, is certified gold. No more worrying over the budget or working on extra hours to make it at the end of every single month. No, no more worries about that. I can see it now. My book converted into a movie starring Denzel, directed by Perry, and produced by Oprah. Even if it's just a Netflix original, I will still be famous. I sat on a plush German leather chair. One of her manservants poured me a tall glass of Screaming Eagle. Another fellow, who was overtanned, wearing a Hawaiian shirt and expensive flip-flops, walked over and presented me with a contract. My eyes glazed over the words and attached itself to the dollar symbol, particularly the 52 with a whole bunch of zeros at the end. To republish the book, the cover had to be changed and the reformatting or the restructuring had to be done. Not a big deal. Also, a new blurb had to be at the back, forwarded by Oprah herself. I was so thrilled. I couldn't believe it. I agreed to the terms until she mentioned contract. Or better yet, no, she already mentioned about the contract. She mentioned content changes. She circled large sections of the book that may offend the readers and other sections that didn't fit into a certain demographic. My eyes gravitated to the dollar symbol. My mind reflected on the fortune and fame. Was it worth it? When you're living to make ends meet, it's not an easy decision. But what type of person would I be? Oprah sat still like a pretty penny and waited. The blonde quarterback was standing by in case things got ugly. I held the contract and the pen. Found my name on the dotted line next to the X. Took a deep breath and handed it back.